Now, when you're living with someone, getting the flu can be kind of fun. Your boyfriend, husband, whatever, is there to fetch for you, to bring you aspirin and juice, to call the doctor if your temperature spikes once too often. When you're living with an animal, you don't expect this kind of care. Sure, I'd heard the stories of dogs that fetched the phone for injured humans, of cats that curled up and purred over surgery incisions. I'd even believed a few of them. Domestic animals know which hand has the thumbs to open the cans, after all. And so when Wallace started licking my temples and then the insides of my wrists, I wasn't freaked. I'd been sweating during those good hours when my fever would break and I could sleep. My skin was probably salty as hell. And when she kept coming back, leaving me only to eat or use the litter box, I attributed it to some vague maternal residue. But then she started talking to me, telling me specifically that I had to get over myself, drink some water, and consider bathing. Then I knew I was sick. The funny thing was, the lecture worked. Sympathy is nice, but I never took it too seriously. Having someone yell at me, tell me basically that I was going to die and it would be my own fault if I didn't do something, that I believed. And so I got up and stuck my head under the kitchen tap, drinking like the parched thing I was. Wallace was sitting on the counter by the time I looked up. "And perhaps you'd like to follow that with some food?" Her voice fit her neat tabby style, very sure of itself, a little smug. "I'm hallucinating." I said the words aloud, partly to make sure my voice sounded different from hers. It did. But the water had helped, and I grabbed a loaf of bread from the fridge, eating one stale slice while two others toasted and chasing it with juice straight from the carton. "I'll be better once I eat and drink." I didn't say those words aloud, but the answer came loud and clear. "If you're really better, you might consider drinking that in such a way that half of it doesn't spill over your face." I choked out a mouthful and looked over to see Wallace staring up at me. "And you really might consider a shower as well before going back to sleep." I think I dropped the container. It was mostly empty anyway, but the noise, or maybe it was the look in my eye, made Wallace take off. I did shower then, letting water beat down on me until my fingertips were wrinkled and the chills had started to come back. But I didn't go to bed after that. Instead, I dressed as quickly as I could, aware all the while of Wallace's eyes watching me, and hailed a cab. I don't remember what I said to the admitting clerk, but as a student, my health insurance was good. They gave me something, and I slept until my flu was gone. The voices had never stopped. They had, in fact, gotten worse on my return. Not only did Wallace talk to me, I found myself overhearing every animal I came in contact with. Everything, constantly. And before you start thinking cute Dr. Doolittle thoughts, try to imagine what that's like. In a city, you're not just surrounded by pets, inbred Yorkies consumed with petty jealousies and neurotic house cats, but by all the wildlife we like to pretend doesn't exist. Rats, skunks, pigeons. There had been a pigeon nest right by my bedroom window, and for years I'd been blissfully unaware of its existence. My first night back, they woke me at dawn with such inanities that I would have sicked Wallace on them if I could.